Now, I wish it would all be plain sailing as a Christian. It would make life so much easier, wouldn't it? If everything, once we declared that Jesus is Lord, we gave our life to him, if everything suddenly just all worked out really well, it would certainly make my job, if that's what you can call it, a lot easier. It would mean we didn't need a pastoral care team. But we know just too much that there are times when it isn't easy. That becoming a Christian, following Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, doesn't mean life is going to be plain sailing. It means that we're still going to have to deal with all the effects of life, all the things that crop up, all the things that try to drag us down. That's just the same as everybody else, isn't it? The whole world's like that. But we have Jesus on our side. When we are facing those challenges, when we are facing those difficulties, when we run headlong into crisis or confusion, perhaps it's the times when our jobs come to an end, or perhaps they never really begin. The one that we thought was the perfect job that actually turns out to be something that's not what we expected. When the path that we thought we were following changes direction, and we think, really? God, are you guys taking me that way? Because sometimes God's call can take us down those paths which we never thought we would go. Those paths where we think, really, God, you want me to go there? You want me to go to Luton? 6.5 years ago, that's what he said. But Amanda and I thought, why? But we know it was without a doubt the right thing to do. Perhaps sometimes the path we're following disappears into darkness and surviving the next day seems more important than living as a follower of Jesus. Now, I don't want to start off too downbeat, because that's all a bit doom and gloom, isn't it, about when things are going wrong. But when we are hearing the voice of God, when we are looking at what he is calling us to, yes, it doesn't come free of uncertainty, and our faith does not sugarcoat the truth around it. But the truths of our faith are not just there for the fair weather and the happy times. They are there through all the storms and the adversity. The Bible is full of these stories. We have stories ourselves when God has shown up. Sharon has just bravely shared her story. God, where are you? What do you want me to do? And then she found the answer. God is there at all times. Yet when we're facing those difficulties, more often than not, we think, I just need to survive this next day. But how can we hear God in those circumstances? Well, we're going to return to basics this morning. It's why we started with that reading from Exodus. It reminds us that we can gather around a table and give thanks together. We can remember whose world this is. It's not ours. It is God's world. We can remember the stories that we know when we are going through our own desert, when we are going through despair, when we are going through even death itself. Whatever mess or difficulty we find ourselves in, we know that God will feed us. We know that we are forgiven, and we know that we are precious in his sight. God never forgets us. God doesn't give up on us. He keeps calling us. He keeps speaking to us. He keeps saying our name. Are you listening? Tim, are you listening? He asks us to return to him with thanksgiving because he keeps providing the daily bread and what we need for that day. If we think of the wider context of that reading from Exodus, we remember that it's the Israelites are living for 40 years in this pattern. Just as they are getting hungry and anxious, and that was about to overtake them when they're in the wilderness for these 40 years, the manna appears. God provides. They couldn't stockpile it for a sense of security. There was just enough for each day, enough for one person, one day at a time. So they could remember their dependence on God and take the next step each day, even when they couldn't see the final destination. They could take a step at a time. How often do we live like that? In today's world, we seem to always be focusing on the end goal and then tracing backwards of going, well, okay, how do I get to that goal? But that's not the way God works. What would it look like if we were to live like the Israelites in the wilderness and take it one day at a time, one step at a time? Because if we then jump to John's Gospel, which was also read, chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus takes the miracle of the manna one step further because he becomes the living bread, giving himself to accompany each new generation of wilderness wanderers. And that's what we are at the end of the day, friends. We are wilderness wanderers trying to find our way back home. And that day will come when we are called home, when the Lord says, it's your time to come back to me, when we've completed our journey. We are wandering through the wilderness. The ordinal, when I was ordained a priest, says you will guide Jesus' followers through the wilderness of this world and keep them from the temptations. It's right there in the ordinal. It's part of my job description, if you like. That I am to guide through the wilderness. But I can't do that. Really, now. I can't do that. I can only do that by the power of God living in me. And friends, you too can only get through this wilderness that we call this world with the power of God living inside you. So the table is essential when we're considering our call. Because it's round the table where we eat. Now, for us, bread is often seen as a little side dish, perhaps with our meal or that you dip in your soup. But for the Hebrew people, it was the most important part of their meal. It was the staple. So the bread carries a lot more significance than perhaps we give it credit for. Because it was the staple food. Whereas for us, it's, would you like a bread roll with that? So we need to be thinking, as the Israelites were, that Jesus is providing the very essence of what we need to live. He is the bread of life. He is working to provide the heavenly banquet for all creation, here on earth as in heaven. And when we gather together, perhaps when we share communion around the table, when we share the bread broken in remembrance of the bread of life, Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins, somehow, through that act, Jesus shows us the next step that we can take. So this morning, you should have a footprint on your seat, and if you haven't, there's some around. As we continue journeying through, I'm going to ask you to be thinking and praying to God, what is the next step that he wants you to take? What is the next step that he wants you to take in the kingdom ministry that we are all called to? You may want to leave it blank. You may want to write something on it. At the end of this talk, we're going to have a song, and I'm going to invite you to come to the table and place your footstep in front of the table as an act of saying, God, I'm all in for this. I hear what you're saying to me. I am willing to make that commitment that I will take this next step that you are calling to me. And if you want another one to take home with you to put in your Bible, just ask. I can print some more. So we've been exploring how God calls us in this series. We go back to those seven models of call that Amanda spoke about. Perhaps we identify with one of them. Perhaps we don't. And that's okay. I wish I could say to you, we can put it all into this easy formula, perhaps on a spreadsheet, and out pops the answer. That's what you need to do. Out pops the answer. That's what God's asking of you. But it doesn't work like that. Again, that would make my job a lot easier, but it wouldn't be a job. I wouldn't enjoy that. Just putting data in a spreadsheet. No disrespect to anyone who puts data in spreadsheets. But it's about discerning. It's about getting alongside people. It's about talking to people. Saying, what is it that drives you? What is God saying to you? What really gets you going for the Lord? What can you do for the kingdom? Because let me tell you, friends, each and every person in this congregation can do something for the kingdom. each and every one of us, no matter how we are feeling this morning, no matter whether we are feeling on top of the world or down in the dumps, we can do something for God in his kingdom because he calls me and he calls you. He calls you into life. He calls you to act for him. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's all going to be wonderful. It could mean right in that step, on that footprint, it's taking you to a place you don't want to go. But know this, that the Lord is with you, whatever that step is. Because we know that he equips the called, as the saying goes. He doesn't call the equipped. So if as you're writing something down, you think, I'm not able to do that, then you're probably doing the right, writing down the right thing. Because God will equip you to do that through his Spirit. If it looks too big, it may be that God's saying to you, don't look at the end goal. Look at what I did for the Israelites in the wilderness. I provided for them day after day after day after day, etc. I gave you enough to take the next step that you need to take. We are called to be partners with God towards the flourishing of all creation. All of that sounds quite good, doesn't it? We can help God and make sure everybody flourishes. Creation is wonderful. It sounds really easy in church. Yes, God, I'll do this for you. But as soon as we get out those doors after our service, we get distracted by society, we get distracted by culture, and we start questioning what we've heard. God, was that really right? Are you sure you want me to go and do dot, dot, dot? That's going to mean losing a lot of my comfort. It's going to mean moving away from family. It's going to mean, you know, giving up my house, whatever it may be. And those distractions make our discernment of what God is calling us to difficult. That's when we get that confusion. Because the distractions show us why we have to keep returning to God, if you follow my drift. We need accountability with each other. We need the anchors of the church, the anchors of Scripture, the anchors of each other, and above all, the anchor of Jesus Christ. Because let me show you some of the distractions that come in society. Say, perhaps in answering call, you look and feel successful. That's what the world says, isn't it? You get this job, you get promoted, you get promoted, you get promoted. Then you've got all the power, you've got all the wealth, you've got all the money. Woohoo! That's not how God works. In pursuing call, you'll be richly compensated for your efforts in material wealth. Well, I've just answered that one. No. Once you answer a call, nothing will change. If only. Once you get it right, things won't get turned upside down. Call is about your personal happiness and fulfillment. And if you're facing a period of difficulty, it means you must not know your calling. That's what the world says. That's what all the self-help books out there will tell you. That it's all about personal fulfillment and getting as much money as you can and doing what's right for you. But God says, uh-uh. That's not how it works in my kingdom. In my kingdom, when I call you, I will equip you for the task. I will lead you in the paths of righteousness. And I will take you where you need to go. It might not look pretty. It might mean we don't have loads of money. But at the end of the day, can we take that money with us? No. What matters when he calls us home, when we finish wandering through the wilderness, is were our hearts on fire for God? Were our hearts in this world saying, yes, Jesus, you are the Lord. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So perhaps the whole question of how we answer this stuff is where are our hearts today? Where is our relationship with God today? I came across a theologian, William Plasher, and I've not heard of him before. But he says, perhaps we're not called to a particular job. Phew. Perhaps we're called to a far more difficult task. Simply living as Christians. Perhaps we are called to a difficult task. Simply living as Christians. Friends, we know Living as Christians in today's society is getting harder and harder. We know that Christianity is being pushed out of society at every possibility. Yet, what we are seeing as it gets pushed out further and further is that more and more people are open to learning about who Jesus Christ is. So perhaps, if we can get back to that model of simply living as Christians in society, it will be a great witness for all those who are out there searching and seeking. Perhaps that's how we reach out to the lost. Perhaps that's how we reach out to the oppressed. Perhaps that's how we fulfill what God has called us to in this world. It's not easy. Sometimes it is simply taking the next step. As Martin Luther King Jr. says, you don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. To take the first step. That's what we're going to write on that footprint, unless you've already done it. And we're going to commit it to the Lord this morning and say, this is what you are asking of me. I am committing myself to do this. And I ask for you to equip me for the task that you have called me to. We've looked at some of the distractions, but what about the positives? Tom Wright, vocational call is what holds together the most remarkable joy and sorrow of life. Work, whether it involves plumbing a sink or plumbing the depths of the cosmos, in the hands of a Christian is ministry. We are all ministers. We are all involved in ministry, whatever it is that we are doing. Or perhaps a better way to think about calling is as what God made you to do. How are you hardwired by God? So if you're sat there struggling, thinking, but I don't know what to write on this footprint. I don't know what God's calling me to do. Ask God, what have you made me to do, God? If you're still really struggling, come and talk to me. I'd love to sit down with you and say and discern with you together what God might be saying to you. But I would say the first place to start is, what brings you joy? And I don't just mean the joy of the world, but I mean deep, deep joy. What connects you to God the most? That's the place to start, friends. That's the place to start. What gives you joy in the kingdom? That is probably what God is calling you to. Because God created us, and God created us for a purpose. It's for us to see what that purpose is and to get alongside him and work with him, not get in the way. That is how we answer the call of God. It probably means taking it a step at a time. It probably will mean it will lead us to times of confusion, of chaos, of leaving behind the comforts that we know we hold on to. Because it's not about what we want. It is about what is God saying to us. What is God calling us to? How is God going to equip us for the task ahead? Because if we've got it all sorted, well, we're just doing it ourselves. If I just stood up here and spoke the words that I wanted to, would it be from God? Probably not. Those of us that speak, those of us that lead service, those of us that do stuff in church, no, we have to pray first. And we have to say, God, will you give me the words? One of the most terrifying things I do is to sit down and prepare a sermon and look at a blank screen on my computer and think, what on earth am I going to say for 20 odd minutes about this passage? And then I go, hang on, Tim. Hang on. God, what do you want me to say to your people who will be gathered in church? Who do you need to speak to through the words that I will write down now? And then show me how you want me to move away from those words as I'm speaking. We have to start with prayer. We have to start with a relationship with God. We have to get to the point of having a conversation with God. Because when we are having a conversation, when we are investing our relationship in our relationship with God, we will start to hear him speak more clearly. Not in the audible voice. Maybe it will be, but that's quite rare. It may be the way Sharon shared. God, what do you want me to do? And she heard two Bible readings. It may be, God, what's my next step? And then out at coffee, somebody says to you, have you thought about ... We all have a part to play in the kingdom. What is yours?